Hey, Bobby, you know what's really creepy?
What, Lauren?
Music!
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it kind of is creepy.
I feel like that was the first time we got to the point immediately
yeah.
in the last, like, month or two of podcasts.
We're on it.
We're on it today. And for the audio-only listeners, we're wearing band t-shirts today in celebration.
I'm wearing two. I'm wearing a t-shirt and a hoodie.
Yeah. Do you want to say what bands are on your...
So I'm wearing Dr. Dog. Even says touring band on it. It's a really cool shirt. We got it at one of their shows. And then I got my Blink 182 World Tour hoodie that we got a couple days ago.
Yeah.
At Madison Square Garden, New York City.
Yeah, and I'm wearing my Blink 182 band t-shirt that I got from the tour. And there's all tour dates on the back because those are the best t-shirts anyway.
I like that one. They're cool when you look back because I have old ones. When you look back.
At the tour dates?
Yeah, just like, the dates.
That's the one I was at.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had the idea for... music, because we, like Bobby said, we just went to a concert on Friday, this past Friday.
It also was mentioned a lot in your community post on YouTube.
Oh, music?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what was our concert?
No.
How did they know that we were going to the
People
concert?
People had mentioned
We
music.
Need to look into that.
How I was they know? Like, yes, good
topic.
Idea, good topic. Music is definitely creepy in various ways, from just like the actual sound and what emotions it can provoke to all of the creepy things that have happened in the music world industry throughout the years.
Yeah, it is weird. Why does music affect us?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. I, of course, Chad was able to assist me.
I was like, do you actually have the... I thought you were going to say, I don't know.
No, it has...
It's a mystery, like art.
I mean...
Well, it is art. Definitely.
I think music also, it does something with your brain in terms of like memory. Like when you hear a song from your childhood or in high school and you hear it and you're like, and you have all these like fond memories or whatever kind of memories you have of that time. I think music is just able to hit like a certain thing in your brain that helps you remember things well.
It's also cool because I feel like my most memorable favorite movies have like a memorable soundtrack.
Yeah,
like if you hear the Lord of the Rings music, you immediately like go into that universe, or yeah. like Harry Potter,
oh, yeah.
or like
yeah, that's a big like
Jurassic Park.
A big meme I've seen on the internet is people who like hear, you know, the one with like John Cena with the headphones on. Have you
yeah.
seen that one? People do that with like Lord of the Rings. Like you hear that and you're like settling in for.
You should start working out to Lord of the Rings soundtrack.
That'd be
pretty really
funny.
Epic.
Do do.
But I was talking about like the battle music.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as in Lord of the Rings, I mean, every time I like when I first start the first one, it's like
definitely for my very accurate
brings me
Hobbit
joy
music
when I first hear it.
The Hobbit music.
Yeah, just it's like huh. Happiness makes me happy.
I don't know what I'm trying to think of. What movie music makes me happy immediately?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Star Wars is iconic.
Oh yeah,
that's very has like do.
That's the whole podcast. We're just gonna
try and recreate.
Try to recreate
our favorite movie soundtracks.
Very
what was
accurately.
The quote from Parks and Rec? He's like, I like to think of them as the director making a mixtape of his favorite music or something for you. You don't remember
don't
that
know.
When Ben says
no.
that? Because he has like all, when him and April
the soundtrack.
In the car, it's all soundtracks from movies. Do you want to hear what Chad had to say about
music emotions?
Music emotions with sound?
Sure. Well, give me like the not that I'm in school version.
Got it. I did have like clips of the actual like things they're talking about. I don't think I should play them.
Yeah, probably not.
Okay, just to be safe.
I don't think
make
I
make it
play
easy them. For our editor Blair and not play the music. So I had to listen to it because I wasn't exactly sure what some of them were talking about. But like we've been saying, music, it has like these it's able to like bring about these emotions. So according to our good old friend Chad, for those of you who aren't up to date, ChatGPT, music has the power to evoke a wide range of emotions, including fear and unease. Here are some examples of music that can be perceived as creepy or unsettling. As I asked Chad for some creepy music things. So dissonance. So it's the deliberate use of dissonant notes or chords that can create a sense of tension and unease. Dissonant intervals or unresolved harmonies can give a piece of music a haunting or unsettling quality.
Is that the rise?
It's hard. I can't like...
And then it just stops right
before. It's all different things, but like, it's hard to... I can't like...
Yeah. That's why I said we might not be able to go over these without...
Talk music. Minor keys, that's definitely...
Yeah, when it's like the...
It's basically like, yeah. Or if you put like on the guitar, like if you ever hear me playing like a minor chord, it has that more like dark sounding, sad sound to it, which is very interesting how music...
But my question was why? Like, why is that? Why? It's just why?
That's more... You want the non-school answer, then I don't know how to...
I want the thought-provoking answer.
I think it's just...
I don't want logic.
I'm sure it's just something that people use that throughout like, history has been associated with, like, sadness and whatnot.
I guess I should have looked it up. Like, why do humans have such a connection with music but not really, like, other animals?
Well, other animals do, but they're not making music.
Well, I guess, like whales and dolphins make...
I mean, I know there's, like... I'm sure I've seen videos of like dogs reacting to music and stuff.
Oh, what about birds?
Yeah, birds. Birds make songs.
Birds make songs. They sing songs.
Tweety tweet. Unconventional time signatures. This one was a little more, you definitely have to listen to it. But if you are someone who knows like music well and you hear, it's basically instead of like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, it's playing music that's on like 5/4, 7/8, odd scales. Yeah. And when you hear it, it's very like off-putting.
Well, it's especially jarring if you know when something's not in a pattern.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Like it's, they say like if when the rhythm feels off-kilter or irregular, it can cause that like feeling of unsettling.
I feel like that's how you felt. Remember we were watching Dave and that.
Oh my God.
So if you ever watched the show, Dave.
I can't believe they brought it back, which is so annoying.
Oh, yeah. They brought in another episode. So there was a Dave episode where they tried to, by the way, if you've never watched Dave, it's a pretty good show. You should watch it. Not many people do. But we watched Dave and one of the backing tracks for one of the episodes, because they were trying to make it creepy.
Yeah.
Was it that one? No, it wasn't that episode.
It was the one where they visited the family.
Oh, okay. Then that was a creepy one.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were trying to make it creepy, but the music that they had in the background was freaking Bobby out.
It's because the way they recorded it, because we have like,
he like did not believe me that it was in the show.
I was
freaking out.
I wasn't sure if it was like coming from Melody's room or just like something weird in the house, but it's because we have like surround sound. It's nothing crazy. It's just the like main TV speakers and two speakers on the side. And the way they were able to mix it, it just sounded like it was not coming.
Wasn't it like,
yeah.
Like it was like, just out of nowhere in the background of the track.
It was so creepy.
He had to pause the show. He did not believe me to where he paused the show and kept rewinding it to see that it was happening in the same point in the show.
Which is like another thing we didn't really like. There's plenty of, especially like older music when they were experimenting more, like Pink Floyd, Beatles, where they would experiment more with different, like hearing sound in different areas. If you're wearing headphones, especially, you can hear that. Like you only hear on the left side or the right side. It'll sound like it's coming from the back.
Yeah.
They can make it like move around you.
Yeah, that's crazy.
When music technicians or whatever they're called can do that, it's very cool.
Music technicians.
Sounds like that's the right word.
Sounds right. Let's just go with it.
I guess kind of to go with what we just said about Dave, disembodied voices or whispers. So it's the use of whispered vocal or eerie disembodied voices in music can send chills down your spine. So there's the songs where there's a couple songs like that, or like there's a Kings of Leon song and there's a Stroke song where they'll like, they're whispering or like speaking very quietly. And unless you're like a huge fan of the band or the music, you don't really know it. But when you find it out and you can hear it and you go back and like listen to it and try to figure out what they say, or sometimes if they'll do it live, they'll say it a little louder. Just a cool way of like, using sound to provoke emotions, whether it's creepy or not. The use of silence and pauses, strategic pauses and moments of silence. This always gets me when we're watching shows, especially now that we have Melody and we're trying to like keep the volume not too loud. I can start anticipating when there's,
when
like
there's
a jump scare because of the way they edit sound. Side note. So you're listening to like a movie at like, let's 5 out of 10 volume, make it simple. And it's good. It sounds good. And then all of a sudden it gets crazy loud. It shoots up to 10. Or when you're watching TV and the commercials are
that's the worst.
300 times louder. Oh, it's so annoying. I hate when people do that.
That's like my sister, whenever we would go visit them, and we used to watch TV a lot more than we do now, but they used to mute during commercial. Yeah. And I thought that was the smartest thing.
Yeah.
Because then you could have a conversation too. Yep. It's not.
Let's talk about that. Experimental or avant-garde techniques, which when I looked up like avant-garde music, because like you've heard of avant-garde, like art, it's just like weird art, let's just call it. Music, oh God. Like, you know how jazz music kind of can sound all over the place sometimes? Avant-garde music is spine-tingling.
So don't trust somebody who likes listening to avant-garde music.
I listen to a little bit.
Not your favorite?
It's just like racket at times.
Oh, after this, we got to talk about what our favorite music is.
Yeah.
And least favorite music.
Sure. Well, we share that. Musical motifs with horror. So some musical motifs or themes have become synonymous with horror and can evoke a sense of fear or unease. So like something that comes to my mind is like Jaws, like dun dun.
Yeah, it's The Rise. That's still a rise to it's going.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Like you said before, like why does music affect us like this? It must just be like ingrained in us from watching.
Maybe it's just a combination of like sounds in the real world that would make us uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then just translating that over.
Yeah. Cause like if you hear like all of a sudden like a loud crash, like that can surprise you. And I guess,
or just silence in general could be unsettling.
Yeah. Like if you're anticipating something,
if you're somewhere, like think about if you went to New York City and there was silence, wouldn't that be creepy? Yeah.
That would be very creepy.
You'd be like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Where did that kind of go?
I'm sure there's times during like early morning when it's quiet and you're like, I've seen like videos when like
that's Casey, one of my favorite times though.
Casey Neistat will go like running at like 5 a.m. and the city's
yeah. The only time I've experienced it is during blizzards,
the hurricane
when we lived there, or hurricanes.
That was weird. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, going a little off topic, but yes, there's been a couple instances where because we lived in the city or worked in the city, we were there during odd. I'll also never forget walking around Times Square at about 3 or 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Like home in college, just we walked through it from wherever we were, like the bars or wherever. That was weird because there was like nobody there, but all the lights are still on. So it's like a zombie movie.
And the last thing Chad has here is back masking, which refers to the technique of recording audio in reverse with secret messages.
I'll get
into that a little bit more later.
Yeah, wasn't there like heavy metal bands that said something about the devil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
I forget who it was.
Oh man.
It wasn't Korn.
No, it's older. It's Led Zeppelin.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a good song? Was that in Little Nicky or did they make
that?
They
did that in Little Nicky too, where like they made up, but they reversed because he's like, oh, you know, like about like Led Zeppelin. He's like, oh, have you listened to this guy?
And it's
who does Melody, who you choose? Like,
is Melody like?
The singer.
James Taylor.
James Taylor. It was someone like James Taylor.
That guy, Little Nicky. Right.
And it was like, this is the Satan or something like that. Yeah. I'm sure it has been done intentionally after the fact.
I don't know. I don't believe in
some of it's creepy.
I don't believe in reverse sounds though, getting into your subconscious and then making you do things.
No, it's not
a reverse sound.
No,
like maybe I believe in a little bit of like subliminal messaging for sure, like visually or when people do that in like torture scenarios, they can work. But I don't think reversed music is gonna, or even like hiding little audio things in a song that you don't really hear.
Yeah.
Is gonna actually do anything,
just people,
but who
having,
knows?
People just having fun with sound.
Well, there was that conspiracy, you know, didn't you listen to the video with me on YouTube where they talked about the Justin Bieber song? The like, oh my God. It was one of the songs they broke down that it might've been like subliminal messaging in it. And it was crazy, like the amount of evidence that they had. Look up Justin Bieber's Where Are You Now song. And there's people that like dissect that they did like musical voodoo basically to make that song popular. There was specific tones that like, I guess I could understand that because they said with research and things, they found that specific tones and pacing and beats are more popular with certain
basically age groups.
Song they were saying, well, that they added a bunch of stuff that was popular with younger generations.
There's also like certain notes that as you get older you can't hear anymore. Have you ever done that, like frequencies?
No.
I think that has to do with like, it's also just like how good your ears are, your health of your ears, and just your age as things start to diminish.
Yeah.
My ears are still good. I have good hearing, I think. My problem is like, you know what? I know it's a thing. So let's say if I'm watching TV and you start talking to me.
Yeah.
They're like, I can't, it's so hard for me to be able to.
Oh,
like,
I know. Because when you're listening to something on your phone, I think you're listening to me. And then you don't respond. And I'm like, he didn't.
My brain like has like a fit. It just can't.
I mean, I will say.
It just like goes back and forth and tries to like focus.
I will say that. And this is just from studies in biology. This is not me generalizing, but there has been studies that show that men, biological men, that's just a problem with you. That's just something that's wrong with your your gender.
We have a problem with
they say that
multi-focus,
like biological auditorio. Women are better at doing multiple things at once.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, there's pros and cons to everything because women are good at that. They're never fully focused on like one thing, whereas men tend to be focused on one, only be able to focus on one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Like if you do too many things, it's gonna like cause issues. That's why I also learned during my administrative assistant days for a man that I learned early on, if I send a text message with three different questions, he will most likely answer one of them. So I need to only ask one question at a time and then I will get it.
That's probably more of like a generational thing. Yeah.
No.
Maybe not.
The same with you. I mean, you're pretty good at answering.
Well, what's great now is like at least with iPhones when you can like reply.
Yes, to one. Thank God.
That was, I know you do that with Hillary.
Well, that's why like Hillary's learned to send me separate text messages so if I can easily reply to like two of her things, I will, and then maybe wait to answer the next one later, but then so the conversation doesn't get jumbled. She doesn't get answers. Oh, I wish I had that when I was an assistant. That would have helped me so much. Because sometimes I'd ask him three questions. He'd say yes. I'm like, okay, well, what?
Yes to what?
All of them? All of them, yes.
All right, back to music. What is your favorite music? Type, band, singer?
I guess. So I've been trying to figure this out because I don't know. There's so many different types of rock music.
Yeah. I mean, you could just say
so
rock,
it's like,
I think.
Because... I guess rock, but then there's like indie rock, there's alternative rock, there's punk rock, there's
garage rock.
So I don't know what's garage rock.
It's like,
and there's heavy metal. It's definitely not heavy metal, but garage rock. What would, the Strokes. That's why you know that.
Oh, it says there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's why. Yeah. Well, it's like the Strokes, the White Stripes, because I've seen it, Strokes.
Wait, type in indie rock. Mine's either alternative rock or indie rock. I want to see what bands are associated with indie rock.
Arctic Monkeys, Strokes.
No. So then do alternative rock. I think that's the one that I like.
Radiohead, really? White Stripes classified as everything?
Nirvana.
No, Nirvana's not. Chili Peppers. Yeah,
Strokes again.
And
Green Day. Okay, what, like, whatever category, like Incubus.
I would say
Blink 182 is punk rock, but Incubus is not.
Yeah.
So that's why I wouldn't say punk rock.
No. So just rock.
Sort of. Okay, sure.
You can just say rock. I mean,
wait, alternative rock is a category of rock music that emerged. Alternative refers to the genre's distinction from mainstream or commercial rock or pop music.
But the problem with it is,
what is commercial rock? Why are there so many types
of rock? Well, that's the thing is that they say that, but then the bands will become more popular and like they transform.
So what is
music will transform to them.
So what is a rock band that is technically pop music called?
Pop rock? What do you mean?
Oh, duh. What do you mean? That's what I meant. Is it called something else?
Pop rock. Like Maroon 5.
Like, would you count Blink 182 as pop rock because they became popular? Pop punk.
That's what they've described themselves as.
Okay. Pop punk. That makes sense.
Yeah. Because they have pop.
What is Incubus songs. Described as then?
I don't know. Let's find out.
I thought it was either alt or indie. Music genre. Oh.
Alt. With metal funk.
With metal funk?
Yeah. Well, because they use turntables and stuff.
Just if you we look this up, it says alternative rock, alternative metal funk. Yeah. Is well, their that's because like
bands.
I mean, I guess you could be multiple
things. Like Linkin Park is multiple things.
Yeah.
Like that like limp I saw this thing, it was like Limp Bizkit, Incubus, and Linkin Park, and comparing them and how saying how like because Linkin Park was so good at combining like the rap, the rock, they the turntables, really yeah, the DJ, whereas like Limp Bizkit was too much in like one direction, yeah. And like Incubus is a little too fun, but that's who they are. It's not a matter of like they're them doing it right or wrong.
Yeah,
but that's the cool thing about music is it's very subjective, and then it evolves over time. One of the things that I have a like gripe with people. It's definitely changed, but like more of my friends be like, oh, I don't want to like go see this band live anymore or listen to them because they've changed. It's like, yeah, they changed. When they started out, they were like young teens in their early 20s just partying. Like,
but I feel like that's anything. Like yeah, your favorite exactly. TV show, your favorite YouTuber, your favorite yes. celebrity. Yes. Like everybody people changes.
People do, but a lot of people don't understand. Like, yeah, they changed. Now they're in their 40s or 50s and they have kids and wives. Like they're not going to sing about going out and getting drunk or whatever. They used to sing about.
Yeah.
They're going to do it in different ways. Talk about life and stuff.
By the way, I think my first favorite is rock. My second favorite is probably like electronic music.
Yeah. I think mine's more my
EDM. I went through a really big EDM phase in New York City for a while. So that carried over.
I would say my second favorite type. Actually, let's go more with these. I hate that.
Yeah. What is his music genre? Or that. I could never get into this genre.
Alt and indie.
What? How?
I guess so. So the band I looked up was Fleet Foxes. So like Fleet Foxes. So definitely my first favorite is Rock, Strokes, Arctic Monkeys, Killers, Kings of Leon, Blink-182, Dr. Dog, those bands.
Linkin Park.
But they're not. I wouldn't. They're different rock.
Yeah.
Anyway. And then it comes. Then it's like more relaxing. Chill music.
Well, I didn't get to go over my bands.
You can. We're just going back and forth.
The time,
here.
The moment's passed now. Nobody's gonna.
Fleet Foxes, Bon Iver. I got really into Bon Iver for.
I remember that. I don't know why I can't get into it. Like, I get it, but I won't just like put it on.
If it doesn't, that's the cool thing about music is like it doesn't hit you. If it doesn't like, if you hear it and it doesn't make you feel good, then that's not for you.
I remember we went to their concert, the Bon Iver concert. I went with you.
Which one?
It was a long time ago. It was like when we were dating.
Really? Where?
Yeah. It was at Beacon.
Oh.
You don't even remember.
Me, you and PJ went.
Did PJ go?
I definitely went with PJ.
I thought it was just me and you. I definitely went to see them because I remember being like, I only know like one song.
Maybe
and then,
we went.
And then I went.
I thought PJ came.
All I remember is there was lots of lights. It was dark.
Yeah.
And they had like.
I just remember everyone sitting down.
Yes. So I was there. Yeah. So maybe PJ did come too.
PJ's definitely there. PJ is definitely the one who's like gone to the most shows with me.
I remember going and all of it sounded the same to me. It was nice. It was peaceful.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, yeah, it was the first concert where everybody was just sitting. And I was like, yeah. This is weird.
And then I would go with like, even though I don't listen to it as much as I used to, I used to listen a lot was Bob Marley and just.
Oh, yeah.
I used to listen to so much Bob Marley.
Bob Marley is like a summer vibe. Like,
yeah.
If I put it on, I'm feeling happy.
If you listen to like
good.
More of his, especially his older music that first came, like when they first came out, when it was like Bob Marley and the Wailers, like Peter Tosh, that was definitely had a different vibe to it than when he went like more solo. When I was in college, I was really into Bob Marley. And then Radiohead. Radiohead's another favorite
of
mine.
That's another one I never got into.
They're definitely like any music that can like just evoke such a wide range of emotions. They're definitely the best live show, hands
down. Who?
Radiohead. It was the best live show I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of shows. And they did 3 encores, which is insane.
Okay, can we talk about encores?
Go ahead.
I hate them. We've talked about this many times. I hate them. I think they're unnecessary. They are a waste of time.
Well, the reason is they used to do it so like the band could go take a break.
I don't care.
That's one of them. But if you're like... I don't know. I guess it was more so for like back in the day when bands were not, you know, in touring shape or just different. But like, yeah, it's cool, But it's also annoying.
Okay, I wouldn't mind if the band needed to take a break, but just then, like, go make them take a break. Don't make us, like, have to continue to clap and yell until you come back out.
Yeah.
I get it's a traditional thing.
I'm definitely on the side of I'd rather there not be.
But we went to Blink, and they don't have
Blink was awesome. Mark was like, this is our last song, and then we're going to play three more. And that's awesome, because you know, like, all right, we got three more songs. Like, get all your energy out. Like, try, you know, enjoy every last minute of this. I love that. I know my favorite band, The Strokes, they used to never do them. And then they got like bullied into it one time, I guess maybe because they have a good amount of songs and they maybe didn't play some like classic songs. And they were at a small show and they said like people were like freaking out that they didn't play an encore,
damn,
which is weird because if you know the band, you know that they never play encores.
They weren't real fans.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't think they do it anymore. I think they just whatever.
Yeah. But,
yeah, I
you know what else is weird? I feel like most of my favorite music originated from high school and then just never changed.
Yeah.
Like there's definitely been new people that have come in. Like I love Billie Eilish. Mm-hmm. She's a huge Ed Sheeran. Mm-hmm. Like those are two people I would really like to see in concert that are newer, like not in high school that I found. But I just haven't got, I don't know. I don't have that like die besides the two of them. I don't have that like die hard, like, love for a new.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that when we were getting ready to go see Blink, is that I don't really know any new music, and I'll hear like new stuff every now and then. New songs I definitely will like.
Yeah, like Taylor Swift. Like don't get me wrong, I like the newest like Taylor like the
Harry
Swift
Styles
or
song
Harry
that
Styles
I couldn't
song.
Stop listening to for
but
forever.
I don't like, I'm not like a diehard fan
no.
of theirs because
well,
there's
I think
no
that's
nostalgia.
More so,
there's no nostalgia tied to it.
I think it's
us.
Also you become like a fan of a band when you're younger because. It's like
you idolize
it's
people.
It's idolized, and it's you can like more identify. It's
well, also,
like
it's
become
weird.
Part of your identity.
It's weird now. Like when I told you, remember when I was like, I love Billie Eilish. I like idolize her, and you were like, you idolize a 17-year-old girl, and I was like, well, yeah, that's a little weird when you think of it like that. She's so confident in herself.
she
just knows
cool.
who she is.
She's definitely cool.
I don't care. I will idolize a 17-year-old girl.
Well, I think she's 20 now.
Okay, is it better now?
Yeah, I think she.
But yeah, you just like you can't, you don't 20? Like idolize
21.
Yeah, you don't idolize new singers as much. Mm-hmm. I feel like because they're just in a different life path.
Depends.
Meanwhile, we're going to Blink 182, where it's a bunch of like 40, 50-year-old dudes cracking jokes as if like they're back in high school.
Yeah,
so it's nice. It was like getting teleported back to high school for.
They were awesome, and I used to. So Lauren and I met. At Fuse TV, which was, I don't think it's around anymore, a music television network.
Yeah, I don't know if it's around.
We were interns, and...
So it was like MTV, but like diet MTV.
Well, it was more about music. Definitely more music, especially
yeah,
then.
But MTV started that way.
Yes.
And then, so it was like, I think Fuse came in and was like, MTV's no longer about music.
Yeah.
So we're going to come in and
yeah.
be about music.
So when we started, they were... starting their show called Hoppus on Music, which was with Mark Hoppus from Blink 182.
I still have the shirts.
And I eventually became the host coordinator there. So I was like in charge of his scheduling and his transportation and just helping him out when he was there. So I became pretty close to him. So it was really cool for me to like see him playing again, especially after he just had is in cancer remission. It was definitely like a very emotional experience seeing him up there again. And just, I don't know, we also had awesome seats. So here's my tip. If you ever go to a show, a concert that's inside an arena, the best seats in the house for view and audio are, so if there's a floor, there's like the pit and then there's the G general admission seats.
By the way, this is generally like a stadium where they maybe play sports games.
Yeah.
Because that would be the only way they would set this back up.
Correct. Like, but it'll work in most places. So what you want to get is the seats that are in the first like bleachers, right when the bleachers start going up directly across from the stage. So if like you're looking straight at the stage,
like
and
straight
you're,
on from
and you're above everyone, so your view is not blocked. You might get one tall person because there's always
there's always
a tall person. But for us people who are, you know, shorter. Can't do the like I.
Yeah, it's don't
fun.
Ever do general admission.
It's fun to do general admission, but
you can't see anything if you're short.
But yeah, if you want the best seats in the house, try and get directly across from the stage in like the first couple rows of where the bleachers or where the seats start going up. Just a little tip. I realized that after going to so many shows and being like on the sides and where the speakers are and getting your ears destroyed. It's like, oh, that those down there look pretty good. So Fuse was located directly across from Madison Square Garden, and they were owned by Madison Square Garden. So whenever there was like shows or concerts there, they had like the broadcast rights to some of them. So they did Jingle Ball, which is like a big holiday music.
I think most people know. I think they still do it.
I don't know.
When I used to listen to the radio to and from work, it would just be like, Jingle Ball tickets, Jingle Ball tickets, like for like months. And we would get requests for Jingle Ball.
Where we are.
Yeah, that's true.
So this was like the height of Justin Bieber, like mania.
Like hair, like peak hair. Didn't he have his, he had his like sway hair?
I think he had just started cutting it, but this was like the peak. So because we worked it, we had like all access passes. We could go wherever we want. So I was working and I was walking across. So where the general admission is, there's usually like a line, like a thing down the middle so people can get to and from the stage. So I walked right up to the stage and I was just feet away from Justin Bieber, just watching him for, I don't know, 20 seconds at most. I was just taking on like, this is very interesting. I'm right here in front of Justin Bieber. And then something that Lauren and I shared is one of our favorite bands, Linkin Park, when they played, I found a really cool spot on the side of the stage where like their family members were hanging out, I'm pretty sure. And we just went and hung out there for as long as we could. We were right next to the drummer. And every time like Chester or Mike would come up like to the side there right by us, that was really cool.
And then it's crazy because 3 years ago I played Among Us with Mike from Linkin Park.
Yeah. And then
crazy how life works out.
You know, people always say it's a small world. It's funny how like things like that happen.
I'll never forget that. They're like, do you want to play Among Us with Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park? I was like, what?
Well, he got really into streaming and stuff.
Yeah, I think
he's still doing it. He does it. Yeah, he does all different like art and music stuff. And then another really cool one was we were working an Elton John concert. That was at Beacon, right?
That was like the first, one of the first ones I ever did.
It was at Beacon, I think.
Yeah. Oh, Drake. We had Drake.
We had Drake. I was walking backstage and said, what's up to Jay-Z?
You know what's funny is I think that's when Drake was just up and coming because he was at the Beacon. He wasn't even at MSG at that point.
Yeah. Jay-Z was like coming out to do a song with him. And I was walking backstage to get like one of the producers tea, and I would cross paths with Jay-Z and said, what's up to him. That was pretty awesome. And then, so we did the Elton John show and we were like done with what we were doing. We were hanging out there and people were like, oh, they're doing sound check. If anyone wants to go and just like watch it.
Yeah.
So we got to go and just sit there and watch one of the greatest musical performers ever do sound check, which was awesome.
Like, not many people there.
Cause it was cool because they would play a song. He would stop. He would say like, oh, I need you to like, you know, turn this person up, do this, do that, play it, boom, done. They're seeing absolute professional, like masters at their craft. It was really cool.
Yeah. We had a cool gig.
Yeah.
As interns.
Any other bands or genre? Well, should we talk about the same music that we absolutely hate and can't stand?
Yeah. Well, first, I didn't get to say my bands.
Okay. Yet. We'll go back to
But we should say, my bands and then we could say our shared bands.
Go ahead. Whatever you want to do.
I feel like there's so many. I'm gonna leave some out.
Yeah, I've definitely forgotten. I mean, you can go on your Spotify and look.
I mean, that's fine. Let's see how many I know from memory. Well, my number one is Incubus, and then I'd say close second is either Linkin Park or Blink 182. And again, this is all from like high school.
Yeah,
I feel like it was my peak musical awakening. I mean, before then, don't get me wrong, I was into like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and like.
Do you remember the first CD you ever bought? Because I do.
Yes. Well, I didn't buy it.
Yes, the first one you ever got.
I was given a Grease soundtrack.
Interesting.
That was my first like CD and my new CD player and the Titanic soundtrack.
Oh. soundtrack.
Which is pretty funny because I think the only song on the Titanic soundtrack is the Celine Dion and the rest is all just like the music from the movie.
Yeah, that's funny.
But the first music I like chose to buy, I'm pretty sure, was the Blink 182 self-titled album.
That was my second one.
Linkin Park Meteora. And I vividly remember going to the store to buy them.
Yeah.
The CDs of them. But I don't remember, like, I remember picking them up, I think, because my friends at the time had told me they were good. Because, okay, well, first of all, I was coming from like a Catholic school where I had the same people in every class for 5 years. And then I moved over to public school and then like made new friends, whatever. But in Catholic school, I feel like nobody really had a big... Oh, sorry. I do remember why I know Linkin Park. I credit it to my best friend's dad.
I remember you telling me this. Yeah.
Thank you. We used to call him Big Jim because it was Big Jim and his son, Little Jim.
Nice.
But, and then my best friend that lived across the street, her dad was very into like Trapped, Linkin Park.
That's awesome.
Limp Bizkit, that whole genre. So whenever we would go there, he would play it. And I was like, I like this.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why
I remember when I got.
I picked up Linkin Park because of him. I picked up Blink 182 because a bunch of my friends told me at the time, like, it was a new CD that just came out. I think those were the two I picked up. And like, oh, I also got like a Vanessa Carlson CD. Like the girl that the...
Yeah, I know.
You know I'd walk 1,000 miles. I think that I've
been. The first CD I ever like remember buying or getting on my own or whatever was Hootie and the Blowfish.
Wow. The Blink-182 CD came out in 2003.
Yeah.
Well, so I was probably like 13.
The first one I remember was Enema of the State. With the nurse, that was like the second one I ever got.
I wasn't into music around that time.
Yeah, so I was.
Yeah, that 12-ish. Was. I'm telling you, I didn't get into like my own choice of music. Like we had music, my parents' music, which I still do like too. It's like James Taylor, Phil Collins, the Beatles. Like all
my
that,
parents were more into like the classic rock, which is cool. I think that's what kind of shaped my musical taste towards more rock. Pink Floyd that my mom was really into. I got really into Pink Floyd at one point.
I think my parents were too, but I don't remember. When I was a kid, I literally just remember hearing James Taylor, Phil Collins, the Beatles.
Nice.
Like that's like my memory.
Yeah. I don't think if there's any other bands.
Yeah, I feel like the rest of the music I was into up until like I went to high school. Oh, so that was I was probably 13, 14. So maybe about to go into high school, right? I don't know what age you go to high school. Okay.
That age.
But I feel like up until that point, I just liked music that like people told me I should like.
Sure.
So like boy bands, Christina Aguilera.
Whatever was on MTV.
Yeah, whatever was on MTV.
TRL.
So it's like, oh yeah, TRL. So I was just like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to like this music.
Eminem was also one of the one of the first CDs I got. I remember when he came out, that was in tech. Cause I was like 12, 13 when he came out. And it was like, He was the shit. he was everyone bleaching their hair and everything.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I went through, Paramore.
Mm-hmm.
Basically all that style of music. Oh, no. And then I went into like AFI, which if you guys didn't see, I think by now my Hot Topic makeover video came out where I kind of talk about it. But AFI, Atreyu, Under Oath, like went into that like.
Nice.
Like what would you call that? Heavy metal? Screamo.
Yeah,
like,
emo, screamo.
Not so much screamo. I didn't like
emo.
If it was too much screaming, I did not like it.
Yeah.
There had to be some sort of like singing mixed in.
AFI music.
Genre. I'm going to say.
Alt indie.
Why is everything alt indie?
Because that's just.
All right. Then I guess my favorite music is alt indie.
Yeah. Emo.
Hardcore.
Gothic rock, horror punk, post-hardcore, skate punk.
Wait, look up like. Under Oath or Atreyu.
Atreyu is probably more hardcore.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to see what the other genre is.
Rock.
Just rock.
Metal.
They're
yeah.
like, we don't know.
Progressive metal. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of, metal. Okay, so should we cause people to not like us and say what our least favorite music is?
Country music. It is absolutely.
Oh, you didn't even flinch. You didn't even take a moment to think about it.
It is absolutely the most. And I'm sorry, but like brain dead.
Oh God!
Vanilla ice cream. Stupid music. And I listen. I get it. And I'm sorry.
It doesn't sound like you get it.
I do get it because I understand.
I'm trying to be middle of the road. Like not for me, but good for you.
I understand why people like it. But Bo Burnham, we brought him up before. He makes a joke about it.
Oh, does he?
And he does it so perfect. It's just the same. They do the same stuff over and over. It's the same. It's very simple. It's like.
That's what people like.
I understand that. And I understand why it's so popular. And I get it. I just can't stand it. It like makes me uneasy. It makes me just, it makes me want to like squirm away and run away. And my freshman year of college, the house that I, the like dorm frat thing that I lived at, all the seniors and upperclassmen loved country. And every time we'd hang out and party, that's all they would play.
I don't understand people and who party to country music. I can't understand how you can party to country music.
I guess
music.
It's good background music. And
no.
Yeah, drinking a beer in my blue jeans. It's so, and I'm sorry if you like country music and you're mad at me right now, and I don't really give a shit. And I have no, I don't care. I've tried. I've listened to it. And I know there's a few like good ones, or, you know, like how Taylor Swift kind of like morphed. She got out of it. She realized this is not what I should be playing. Yeah, I absolutely despise it. Whenever I hear it, or whenever anyone plays it, it's just, I run. I don't want to hear it. I can't.
You judging the music, not the people that listen to it.
Correct. Judging the music and saying, break free from the spell. Listen to something else. There's a lot.
But what if people like both?
It's fine. Oh, the people like, well, yeah,
like your music, but also.
Oh,
enjoy.
I love all music. There's people like that. It's
there's
fine.
People like that.
I like most music. When I hear songs, a lot of times, like, I'm not even like almost associating with the words. It's more like the melody and the harmony.
How it makes you feel.
How it makes me feel. Whereas like country music, it's just, it's so straight edge, plain and boring to me that it's like, there's I can't like interpret it in any other way. It's like, you're doing all the emotion for me. Whereas I'm just, I have nothing left.
I got you.
You know what I mean? Like when I hear like a Strokes song and there's, you don't really, there, it's, the lyrics are like, they're not straightforward.
I just realized what song, that's why I don't like the one Blink 182 song, the First Date song.
Oh.
That's the same feeling I get.
Yeah.
Because they literally just lay out exactly what's happening in the song.
I think that was, they wrote that intentionally though to be.
Oh, I know. It's supposed to be like dumb, like a dumb song.
Well, then no, like the record label, I think that was one of the, they wrote two songs.
Just for the record label?
Rock Show.
Yeah, that one's also very straightforward and simple.
Because they did that intentionally because they had that album done and their record label came back and like, oh, we want like the summer jam pop. And they run back home angry. It's like a thing. You can watch
oh,
this.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a thing. And they went back home and they wrote that
the most
and the rock
song.
Show.
And, but
and,
what's funny
and then
is
it became
they
like their most popular. But that's the thing is like.
They're probably like, damn it.
That's why like country, it appeals to the most people because
yeah, I was
going to
say,
so
I think country is the biggest fan base.
I know. I get it. I'm just telling you why I don't like it. And I haven't listened to it in a long time. And maybe now that I've aged and whatever, maybe I'll find more appeal in it, but I very highly doubt it. But that's it. It's that country music does all the emotion for you, whereas other music, you get to like interpret it. That's it. Country music does all the, it's straightforward.
Like, I'm figuring
country
this out.
Music is straightforward. It does all the thinking and everything for you, whereas other types of music doesn't do that as much or whatever. And you get to interpret it how you want to interpret it. That's what I like about music is I'm interpreting it. Even sometimes you hear a lyric and you hear it like it's not the right word, but to you it works and it makes sense. Like Blink-182, I always thought it was, I walk alone to get the feeling right. It's I work alone to get the feeling right.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah. But I'm like, oh, he walks alone. He's going out to like, you know, get in his mindset, whatever.
Gotcha.
But as country music, be like, I picked up my cologne that she loves and I put it on and I smell real good and she likes how I smell. So yeah. Get it? That's it. That's country music. That's why I don't like it. It's just so straightforward and simple. And I'm not saying it's wrong or bad or you're wrong or bad for listening to it. Just I hate it.
I was going to say my other new emerging favorite music genre is, what would you call it? 80s. 80s pop music. 80s dance music. What am I working out to lately?
Oh, like the
80s, 90s dance music.
Oh, I thought you said new music. I was like, that you're talking about.
No, like what I've been into listening to lately.
Yeah. The party jams so like, playlist I made. Like Ace of Base.
Yeah, Ace of Base. Yeah. Oh my God. Why can I not think of the I'm Blue song?
Yeah, Eiffel Tower. 65. Is that what the name of it?
I think it's just Eiffel 65. Yeah. I don't know if you remember what your first was, but I remember what my first concert was.
Amazing first concert.
Unless my mom yells at me and is like, we brought you to one when you were a child, then I don't know. But like as a sentient teenager that remembers, Well, there was two main ones. There was the Sum 41 one that I always tell you about with where Chrissy. My sister brought me
and she was pregnant.
To a Sum 41 punk rock show and she was pregnant.
How far?
Like
how,
very pregnant.
Oh,
like,
okay.
At least like.
Showing, vividly showing.
Yes, she was showing yeah. for sure. Like she wasn't like about to pop, but yeah. like she yeah. was at least showing. Yeah, that was madness because we decided that it would be a good idea. It was all general admission. That's what it was. It was this small venue, all general admission. And we were just being like shoved around.
Yeah.
And she was pregnant. But because she was pregnant, we went up to a security guard and was like, it's really crazy over there. And I was only, my dad was still alive. So I was like, I don't know, 12? No, I was probably 14. Yeah. I was four. It was like right before he passed. He was sick. But I was 14 and she was pregnant. So she literally went up to the security guard. Was like, it's crazy in there.
Yeah.
I have my little sister. I'm pregnant. So yeah. they let us sit in the VIP upstairs.
Oh, that's awesome. Because
there was two free seats.
That's
so
good for them.
That was cool. My first show that I ever like bought a ticket for myself because I had disposable income that I made myself. Like the first show our parents paid for so that we could go because we wanted to do something cool. And then this one I paid for it and it was at Jones Beach. We went and saw Great Incubus venue. With Michelle. It was just me and Michelle.
That's awesome.
We went to see Incubus at Jones Beach.
Did you drive? You
yeah.
Oh, okay. So my first-
I was maybe 18.
First concert I went to, I was
or
around-
Or no, I was younger, maybe 16, 17.
I was around 12 or 13. I could probably look it up. And it was, I think it was 2001. So I was 13, 14 in that range. It was Stone Temple Pilots open for the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, God.
And it was at PNC Bank Art Center, which is another cool venue. That was awesome. And it was raining. So people were like, there's a grass hill. People were sliding down.
Oh, we went. We yeah. went and saw Incubus there. I've seen Incubus a lot.
That was the first show. I'll never forget it. I have pretty vivid memories of being there and just being like in awe of it. That was when the Chili Peppers wear like socks around their private parts.
Ah.
That was that era of the Chili Peppers.
Especially now that I'm older, like general admission or like the pit freaks me out.
I don't do it anymore.
I've always been scared when we went to music festivals, especially because I'm like a small person.
Yeah.
Sometimes they would just like pull people that weren't in the pit. They would just pull them off the side and throw them into like the pit area. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like
really people?
Yeah.
I've really had seen that.
Because you weren't a tiny girl that yeah. they were trying to like throw in the yeah. pit.
No, definitely.
Dance.
When you go to festivals, it's hard.
I will never understand that. What is that called? When it's like the pit and guys are going like.
Moshing?
Yes. Oh my God. I forgot about moshing.
Yeah. I mean, I like.
That's scary.
I enjoy the pit when you can like just jump up and like bump into people.
Well,
and, like,
yeah, that's fine.
Rocking out.
But I like, hated moshing.
Well,
that was so scary.
I will say when it comes to moshing, at least most crowds back in the, I don't know, most people are good about like, if you fall down,
yeah.
people pick you up because you don't want, A, you don't want the moshing to stop. And B, like you don't want
the moshing.
Well, you don't, if
do
someone's
people do
getting.
That still?
What? Mosh? Oh, absolutely.
I feel like I haven't heard that word in a long time.
Well, you're not going to many live shows where there's moshing going
mosh
on.
Pits.
Yeah, I remember me and a couple of my friends went to All Points West in 2009 and the Arctic Monkeys played at like 5:45. I remember all this stuff. And it was super muddy because it had been raining for the couple days leading up to it. And no one, like people were like, you know, oh yeah. So a quick side note, I can't stand when you go to concerts. I don't know how people do it. And they just stand. No, not even like bopping their head, not saying it. Stand, like I guess, unless you're on a lot of drugs or something. Oh, yeah. I can't hear music and stand still. Anyway, so we're at the festival. And
would you say that's creepy? I would say that's creepy. If I looked out in the crowd, there's just one person like.
There's people all like. Even at Blink, there's people who like just stand there and like barely move their head. It blows my mind. I don't know how people do it. So we were at this festival and it was like people were, you know, moving around a little bit. So me and Tim started like moshing with each other and we made the mosh pit.
Nice.
It got pretty big. It was pretty cool.
I feel like we should move on to the creepy stuff.
Yeah.
We've already been talking.
We should move on. We've been talking a lot. I have a lot. We can.
Oh God,
we
you're gonna have to jump.
No,
around.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump around. I found this, which I thought when I was looking up creepy stuff, this popped up. It's called the Singing Ringing Tree. So it's in an English town of Burnley in Lancashire. It's a unique musical sculpture. It's made of galvanized steel and it's all pipes. So it's basically, here it is. I'll show you what it looks like. But I have to play it because it is. creepy, and I can definitely play because it's just wind chimes essentially. So here it is. I hope you got everyone can hear it. And Lauren, it's your first time hearing it. Enjoy. It's super creepy. It's like a spiral.
Why? Why does this?
How creepy! Look at this thing.
Yeah, that is really creepy.
So it's.
I love that, and the sun probably never shines there because it's England. So it just always looks ominous.
It's this sculpture. It's just all these pipes that are like stacked and it looks like a tornado swirling. Kinda. Yeah, it looks like a tornado. Like the top is wider and it like swirls down. But I found that and I'm like, this is creepy. I had to talk. I never heard about that before.
I've never heard of that either.
So then Chad kind of gave me like a rundown of just like creepy things of music.
Okay.
Let's kind of skim through here.
You should pick your favorites.
Yeah, I mean, it was hard. I didn't like study this. You know, I read it once or twice and put it on the list here. So obviously, there's been like catastrophic things that have happened throughout the years at concerts, accidents.
You don't say.
Stampede, structural failures that have resulted in injuries and deaths. So there's that creepy aspect of it.
Probably don't have to talk about that.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about any of that too much. I was seeing if there was...
Well, I also know there's like instances where the artist got hurt.
Yeah.
I always worry. Like when we were at the Blink show, there was...
Oh, this is crazy. Oh.
There was those lights over top of them that kept moving and twirling. And I was like, those lights are so heavy.
One thing I wanted to... I mean, I guess trigger warning, but...
Trigger warning.
Something that happened recently that, I mean, I remember pretty well when I was reading it just now. I was like, holy crap. The Eagles of Death Metal, who's a band that I saw open for the Strokes a long time ago. They were in Paris and there was a terrorist attack that took place. Do you remember that? 2015.
No.
They entered the venue and opened fire. Like you can see the band playing and then like you hear fire.
Oh, wait. Yes, I do remember. I remember you showing me it.
Yeah, there was 90 people who died. So it was pretty terrible.
Well, I feel like even most recently, like there was that one. There was the Vegas one, which was the country music festival. There was the Ariana Grande one in the UK, bombing.
Yeah. It was definitely, it opens up a lot of people to being vulnerable and it's, you know.
I mean, I guess it's for scary. Any, like if you were at a sports game, it'd be the same thing. It's like,
I'm always very grateful when you go somewhere and they have good security.
Yes.
And then you have these asshole YouTubers who sneak in, who like make a thing out of like sneaking into things.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, like the ladders and stuff. Like when they
there's all different ways. People do it all the time. And it's like, don't put that out there. You're giving people bad ideas. Yeah. Like, I can't stand that. Like, it's cool.
Damn YouTubers.
It's like, oh, wow. Like this one guy, that Iraq guy. He snuck into the Lakers game recently because he kind of looks like one of the players and he wore a mask and he was able to walk right in. I mean, he got someone to drive me like, oh, I'm dropping off. Austin Reeves was the basketball player's name. He got in, got onto the court and then
how did he not get sued for that?
He got banned. He can't go. He can't. He's like banned from the game now. But like, I don't like that. You're putting people's jobs at risk. Yes,
that too.
You're exploiting something.
Like somebody's going to get in trouble for that.
Someone's going to get in trouble. And like, you're exploiting the niceness of people in a way. Like you're impersonating a person.
Yeah.
So you're pretending to be, and they're, you know, like normally like when the players, I guess, go in, like they, I don't know, it's easy for them to get in, but I don't like that. Not a fan of that. I feel like I'm an old man when it comes to that. It's an old man thing of mine. The next topic was fan disturbances. So that's things.
Oh, there was a mosh pit.
Mosh pitting. Yeah. Stage diving, stealing equipment.
Oh, God. We never even talked about
stage
have
diving.
Have you ever tried to crowd surf?
Oh, no.
I would never. Do you know how many times, especially at music festivals, we used to see it all the time?
Naughty things that happen when people.
First of all, if you're a girl and you're wearing a skirt or a dress, don't ever do that. But also, we've seen people just do it and nobody. Like.
Yeah.
Like stage. They would jump onto people and everybody would kind of like move away because they're like,
or it's annoying to other people if like all of a sudden
it's
coming from behind you and you're like, oh, I got to lift this freaking person up now. And you're up in the air and we all got to work out and then you go and security brings
you
back.
But also it kind of sucks if you do crowd surf, you're going all the way to the back now. Yeah. Like you.
Some people do that to get out of there.
Oh, that's smart.
It's like a strategy.
Yeah.
They do it. Like, I guess that's girls will do it because they're, you know, smaller.
Yeah, that's true. It has been in, especially music I've experienced it more so in like music festivals. But Michelle and I were just talking about it. There was one time we were getting legit, like, just we were like up at the front of the stage.
Yeah.
And people, when the show starts, just all crush forward to try and get as close as possible.
Yeah, that's
and
a little
if you're
tip
a small
you
person, you're just like, so we, I remember we had like, one of our girlfriends was like a big girl and she literally just like powered through and like grabbed us and powered
that's
us a, out.
That's another reason like, I don't like going to festivals and standing in the pit as much anymore because you're like fighting for your spot the whole time.
Yeah, I hate it.
And like me and Justin went to that festival a couple years ago. We saw the Arctic Monkeys and we moved up. But there was gaps. We weren't like pushing people. We got to a good spot. All right, cool. We're happier. But as the show went up, people were just moving and bumping into you. And like all of a sudden I'm standing here like all scrunched up. And it's like this
or
sucks.
If you're outside and it's hot, it's just like people sweat and like BO. Yeah.
I went to Coachella.
Hair.
When I was at Coachella in 2010, it was gross.
There's people like making out on top of you. Oh, yeah? That's also happened to me. a lot of drugs.
Fans,
people aren't paying attention.
Another thing you talked about was fans rushing the stage. Yeah. Which, yeah, that can be. I've seen like where like musicians have like kicked the people.
Which
stuff.
Also, like, yeah, as a musician myself, as somebody who's been in situations where like you're on guard because you don't know who is like a fan and who's not.
Yeah.
Like, especially at, like VidCon, like situations like that where like you're kind like you're trying to like see people in a I don't know.
Structured manner.
Structured way. When somebody bum rushes the stage and gets up, like...
They deserve to be punished.
Yeah, that physically. Is not cool. No. That is not... Like, just in general, like, people who do it in sports games, people... Like, because whether you're well-intentioned or not, you just terrified your favorite artist. Like, whether you think you did or not, there's a moment where they're like, is this person going to cause me harm? Yep. Why are they coming up on the stage?
Yeah, that was the next topic. It was overzealous fans and, like to go along with people rushing the stage. There's like fans who like throw stuff. Remember like Kid Cudi left the show because people were throwing stuff at him the whole time.
Yeah.
These younger kids, man, they just,
sound like such an old man.
I know, but like it didn't really happen as much until like, as I would say, as of the past couple of years where like, it feels like younger kids, when they go to shows, they have like a lack of disrespect.
You know why?
Because
probably. Because they want to, because it's going to get them attention.
Yeah. It's going to get them attention. And it's like
videos or
the sensitive. I don't know. Like,
dude, as somebody who has online popularity, it's not what you think it is. It's not fun.
Yeah.
It's not cool. Especially if you're going to get popular for doing something dumb like that. Which is usually a fleeting thing. Like, nobody's going to be like, oh, yeah, I love that guy that threw that thing on that stage the one time.
Yeah. But,
I'm going to watch all their stuff now.
I don't get it. Oh, I will say, though, I did throw a CD on stage.
A boo.
I didn't try to hit it. I was close, and I got it right on. Because people were like, this was when Julian was doing his solo thing. I was at Coachella. And so my friends used to have a band, and
why
was like,
"Why did you throw it on stage? Did you think he was going to sign it and give it back to
no,
you?"
No, I wanted him to listen to it. It was my friends.
Oh, it was the Grifters. Oh God.
My friends had a band. I threw their like demo CD on stage. He picked it up and was like, "Oh, cool. We'll listen to this." I'm sure he didn't, but
made your night.
Yeah, made my day. There's also paranormal things that like most things life, concert venues and theaters. Will get reputations for being haunted or having ghostly sightings, strange sounds. Trying to skim through here and see if any of them are, they're all just, you know, seeing people kind of stuff.
Seeing people.
Seeing ghosts. This was cool. This I found and I didn't know about, and I would like to read it because it's very unique.
Creepy.
It's very creepy. Ooh. So this is titled, so there's a band called Mars Volta. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of them?
No.
Oh, you never heard of them? Okay. So the album called The Bedlam in Goliath was written in, like, they took experiences from, they had a Ouija board that they brought around and would mess with. So let me read it. Okay. So guitarist and songwriter Omar Rodriguez Lopez was on a trip through Jerusalem when he stumbled upon an old Ouija board at an antique shop. Thinking it would make for a good present for his bandmate and vocalist, Cedric Bixler Zavala, he purchased it. When the Mars Volta were touring with the Red Hot Chili Peppers in 2006, the band headed back to their tour bus where they would play with the Ouija board, an event that quickly became something of a post-concert ritual. The band affectionately gave the board the name the Soothsayer. The board was said to tell stories, all of its own makings, as well as reveal names of characters to the band and make requests to them. Three spirit characters appeared to the band, all under the guise of a single entity, which they called Goliath. As time went on with the band using the Soothsayer, more and more strange occurrences began to happen, particularly around the time they started to write and record what would become the fourth album, The Bedlam in Goliath. For starters, drummer Blake Fleming suddenly quit the group, citing financial difficulties. Then the lead singer, Bixer Zavala, required operation on his foot after his shoes had begun causing him severe pain. Just like to know more about that. But and he needed to learn how to walk
again. Oh my God.
In terms of the actual recording process, files consistently went missing from hard drives, and the home studio of Rodriguez Lopez was mysteriously flooded. It was all beginning to sound like a biblical horror story. Shortly after the flood, an engineer for the new album quit, telling Rodriguez Lopez, "I'm not going to help you make this record. You're trying to do something very bad with this record. You're trying to make me crazy, and you're trying to make people crazy."
Oh my God.
After finding a new engineer, Rodriguez grabbed the Soothsayer, the Ouija board, and broke it in half. He took the broken pieces and buried them in a remote location, hoping to break whatever curse it had cast in the band. He asked the band to never talk of the board during the recording process and vowed never to reveal its location. What the Soothsayer has told Mars Volta over the previous months, though, worked its way onto several of the songs on their resultant The Bedlam and Goliath album. Also featured were snippets of poems that came with the Ouija board when Rodriguez Lopez bought it in Jerusalem, in which a three-way relationship between a mother, father, and daughter is described, and each song provides a unique take on the relationship. The Mars Volta hoped that the Bedlam and Goliath would free them from the Soothsayer curse. It said that there are traps for listeners in the songs on the album, laid so as to reverse the fortunes of the band. To spook listeners even further, the vinyl edition of the album contains a copy of the curse Ouija board. However, it remains to be seen whether the curse was lifted or if it still haunts the band and their fans to this day.
Interesting. And yeah. Their fans.
I was like looking, you know, doing my research, and I stumbled upon this Reddit post, and people were talking about like all creepy things. And I saw this. I'm like, what? This is crazy. Yeah, I've heard of this band. There was another thing.
Mars Volta.
Mars Volta, yeah. You've probably heard. They have a popular song. So there's something another creepy thing I want to touch upon. I don't know if you ever heard of like when people say like they sold their soul to the devil.
Yeah.
So that's
like a rock. Wasn't that like a rock thing?
Yes. Well, they made a movie about it. The like Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny, and Dave Grohl was the devil in that.
Oh yeah.
So it's like a urban legend, I guess.
Oh yeah, I forgot to say Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
Like Foo Fighters.
Yeah. They're one of our faves. So it's like a known like thing amongst like rock and blues.
Mm-hmm.
So the one that I had heard of, and I remember like listening to like a Joe Rogan podcast when they're talking about it. So there's this guy named Robert Johnson, and he's one of the most like famous legends associated with selling its soul to the devil.
Okay.
And according to the story, Johnson,
the blues
Johnson went to a crossroads at midnight and made a deal with the devil, trading his soul for unparalleled guitar playing skills. And this tale has contributed to the mystique surrounding his influential blues music. It's basically like no one was playing the guitar the way he was at the time. And you listen to it, you're like, oh. But
so people assumed.
Yeah, but
it was magic,
just
black magic.
Yeah, but it was just he was developing his own style. And it was just because everyone was just very like, you know.
Well, do you remember?
Straightforward and basic.
Wasn't it back in the day that like rock music, when it first started, people thought it was like.
Satanic.
Yeah, satanic. Yeah. And only Satanists listened to it. And it was the devil's music.
All right, I got two.
Oh, God.
I wasn't.
You're gonna start cutting this down before.
I wasn't crazy about.
Before.
I wasn't. Podcast. No, I know. I know what to talk about. I just put stuff here. So this one I wanted to talk about. This was interesting. So it's the. Have you ever heard of the 27 Club?
No.
So.
Joe, you're about to.
The 27 Club refers to a bunch of like mostly famous musicians and entertainers who died at the age of 27.
Oh, wait. Yes, I have heard of this.
Yeah. And a lot of it under like tragic circumstances. It became very popular after Kurt Cobain died in 94, when people started connecting his, like, oh, wow, he died at 27. So did Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, Brian Jones, Jimi Hendrix. And then short, and then more recently, you know, more-ish recently, Amy Winehouse also at 27.
Weird.
So it's like this mysterious age of when people, all these musicians died. They have a theory, which is just some nonsense, but I thought it was kind of funny that, again, that people, that they all made a deal with the devil.
Oh, God.
To have this talent.
To die at 27.
And then in return, they would die at 27. But it's mostly just a coincidence. But if you never heard of it before, it's pretty creepy, unique coincidence. That,
yeah, that is weird.
And there's a bunch more musicians and other people throughout history that died at 27. At 27 who were famous. So it's very creepy. And one more thing I wanted to talk about. It's kind of silly, but I thought another popular thing. I'm sure you've heard of it. Ozzy Osbourne biting the bed off
I
the
still
head
don't understand.
Off a bat. So do you know the story behind it?
No.
Okay, good.
I don't think so.
It was January 20th, 1982, during a show at Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Des Moines, Iowa. There was around 5,000 fans in attendance, one of them being 17-year-old Mark Neal. At some point during the show, Neal tossed a bat onto the stage and it landed right at Ozzy's feet.
Ozzy, real bat.
How? Being he got it to like have it as a pet, but it died.
Oh, and so it was dead already.
It was dead.
Okay. I guess that makes it a little better.
Yeah. So Ozzy, being the crazy guy that he is, he noticed it there and assuming it, he thought it was fake and made it, he picked it up and put it in his mouth and he went and he bit down on it and he noticed like this is really weird and he was said that he immediately then Ozzy like talking about it later said immediately he knew something was wrong. It's like very wrong for the start. His mouth was instantly full of like this warm gloopy liquid, so blood and whatever, and the aftertaste he said was absolutely horrendous and he could feel it staining his teeth and running down his chin. It had been brought home from school by his younger brother 2 weeks before the concert with the intention of becoming a pet. It didn't live long. And the night of the concert, his friends thought it'd be funny to like bring it there and give it to Ozzy. It was sealed in a plastic bag. So after the show, Ozzy was rushed to the hospital where he got rabies shots.
Oh my God.
But like, I remember growing up and hearing that. And you're like, oh, Ozzy.
It's crazy.
And then there's video of him.
I never knew that he didn't know it wasn't.
He didn't know. I'd heard that, but I didn't know the exact like story and what happened.
I was just going to say, I was like, my immediate reaction would be like, am I going to die? Like, what is this?
And then like, you know, that became like his thing. And like, he would then recreate it. And then in Little Nicky, he did it.
Yeah.
So those are some of the stories there.
That's so gross.
There's a lot of
my stomach turn.
A lot of just like ghost stories. There's a story about Kendrick Lamar, apparently, that he insisted that the ghost of Tupac went to his mom's house while he was still living there at the age of 21.
What?
Yeah. He described his late night visitor as a silhouette of the 90s West Coast rapper of Tupac.
Was there a lot of people saying that they've seen Tupac? Or they think he's alive?
Yeah.
Not ghost.
So, the one we were talking about before was Led Zeppelin, and the song was Stairway to Heaven backwards.
Oh, yeah.
And it was this televangelist who like made it like, oh, they're all about satanic. It was,
yeah,
like we were talking about before, just how like rock and heavy rock was like made out to be like devil. And then they asked, so Jimmy Page, the guitarist of the band, they're like, is this a thing? And he's like, he basically said, it's hard enough writing the music one way around. So he's like, we didn't do this.
Yeah, how would you?
It is pretty creepy how like clear it's funny. You listen to it and like the beginning of it in reverse definitely is very clear and you can hear it sounds like intentional, but then it kind of like starts to lose its like,
yeah,
making sense. But it's very creepy. If you never heard of it, just Google Led Zeppelin Stairway to Heaven and you can listen to it.
Do you know what it says?
I'll look it up. It's like, oh, here's to my sweet Satan and stuff like that. Led Zeppelin.
Oh, God.
Stairway to Heaven backwards. What is... So when it played backward, it says, "Oh, here's to my sweet Satan, the one whose little path would make me sad, whose power is Satan." It was just weird.
Like it didn't really make sense.
It didn't really.
Interesting.
Yeah, whatever. But that's that.
Yeah.
That's that. That's some creepy stories surrounding music. Yeah, I think music is pretty creepy. It's pretty creepy how much it like can affect us emotionally and strike up memories.
I mean, I think it definitely can. Like if you listen to aggressive music all the time, you're not going to like come out of the car and be like,
yeah. Like for instance,
like great.
Yeah. So I had definitely have like road rage. Not bad anymore, but I get very infuriated with how bad people drive. So one of those tactics is to listen to calming chill. I listen to like,
yeah, you do always listen to the chill radio.
Chill radio on XM.
Just has it helped you?
Helps keep me calm.
I definitely tend to drive faster when I have like Linkin Park or something.
And there's definitely times where like you're listening to, and you're really in music and like you're kind of like in the zone more when you're driving.
Yeah.
I've noticed.
Well, I also say like if you listen to like Beethoven and stuff, you're supposed to be able to.
I did that. Study yeah. Better. When I was studying for the Wall Street stuff, I listened to like a lot of.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot you did
a lot of classical.
That never really worked.
I passed
for me. I tried, but it.
It was more so just that like
I needed it to be quiet. I couldn't.
Yeah, be listening to anything. It helped keep me focused because instead of like my mind wandering, it felt like a buffer. Whereas like if my mind would wander, like if I'm reading a book. My mind wanders. It's quiet. Like it's gone. I can't. That's why I don't like to read. But with this, studying and I had music, if my mind wanders, it like bounces back. I'll like hear the music and I'll like start getting in. So it helped me.
Yeah. What do you think of people who don't like music?
Very weird. Definitely have like met people who like, and you're like, oh, what kind of music? Oh, I don't really listen to music much or I don't really have. It's like, really? What do you do?
What do you do? I don't know. Yeah, it's weird.
I know, like, definitely.
You don't even want to listen to something. Like, I feel like it just, like, helps the mood. Yeah. It helps amplify the mood you want.
It's probably.
So, like, if you're hanging out in the summer outside, you want to hear some, like, low-key, happy, like, upbeat music.
It's probably
if you're having a rough
day,
you want to put on, like, maybe some music that's going to match, either make you feel better or just kind of match your mood and let you sulk.
It's probably people come from, like, sheltered families and, like, they didn't listen to it, whether it was, like, religious reasons or just. Other they didn't.
I do remember I went to visit when I was in Catholic school. I went to like sleep over one of the girls' houses and her mom was extremely strict. And I remember being like, oh, what kind of music do you have? And she had like, I don't even know what it was.
Biblical music.
Yeah. I don't know, like very like not.
Christian rock.
Maybe not. No, not Christian rock. Maybe just Christian music.
Did you ever hear this?
And I was
this,
like,
there's
oh.
this theory and it's pretty crazy that. Who do you think is the most popular like Christian rock band? When it comes to mind.
Well, I know I just learned Flyleaf was. I did not know that.
You know who is? The Killers.
They're a Christian
Listen
rock band.
Listen to all their music. Like there's a
or I thought isn't Creed a Christian
yes,
rock
but
band
like,
too? They're not the most popular?
Well, The Killers are probably everyone knows The Killers.
Everybody knows Creed
They're a
too.
Secret Christian rock band.
That's the
Listen
theory.
To their lyrics. I forget who exactly said it. Some comedian I saw this clip of. Just if you want to check it out, just Google like.
I gotta look now.
Killers Christian rock band.
There's so many. There's a couple Christian rock bands I really like that I had no idea.
I don't
even
think
Christian
they're
rock
intentionally
band.
Trying to be one.
Yeah,
it's just like a conspiracy theory thing.
I didn't know. I just learned Flyleaf was one. I didn't know that. I don't care either way.
No,
I still like their music.
It was just very interesting. I remember hearing that and being like, whoa. And then like, he's saying the lyrics and you're like, oh, crap. Not oh, crap, but like.
Wait,
oh,
is it because one of the lyrics is he looks a lot like Jesus? Isn't that one of the lyrics?
Oh.
Oh, he doesn't look a thing like Jesus.
No, it's just it's just a silly conspiracy theory. Yeah, people who don't like music. It's very, very eye opening. And I get it. Like, you know, maybe they're reading books or other stuff. Learning
you're
languages.
Like, I don't consume any media.
Yeah. It is weird, though. I will say how, like, especially now that we work from home, that my musical consumption has gone down besides listening.
Yeah, because you usually do it in the car.
Yeah, when you're in the car or, like, commuting.
A lot lately I've been doing, like, podcasts. Or I want to be entertained
for
a small amount of time.
Yeah, if I'm, like, taking Dexter for a walk, I'd rather listen to a podcast and, like, learn something or whatever.
Yeah.
Entertained. And now it's When I'm working out, I listen to it, but that's pretty much it. Yeah,
I do it when I'm working out. Sometimes when I'm driving, if I want to like amp myself up.
Yep.
If I don't need to amp myself up, then I'll do a podcast. But if I'm like about to go do something fun, I'll usually listen to music to like keep my energy up.
Yeah.
But yeah, working out, some car rides, and then when we're hanging out outside is like one of my favorite times to put it on. Like,
yeah, no, for sure.
When we're in the summer.
It's almost made me, now that I don't listen to music as much or as frequent, it makes me like appreciate it more. I'll go back and like put the Strokes on or whatever. And it's like, oh yeah, gives me all those good feelings.
Yeah. But yeah. Let us know what your favorite music is.
Yeah.
Always curious, especially because I don't really know. I feel like an old person, but I don't really know any of the like newer, besides like the main people that are big. Like, yeah.
Well, you didn't even know Jack Harlow.
Don't know who Jack Harlow is. That's fine. Still don't know.
And remember,
everything is creepy.